The limits of debate in this country are established before the debate even begins, and everyone else is marginalized. They're made to seem either to be communists or some sort of disloyal person. A kook, there's a word.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
And now it's conspiracy. See, they've made that something that should not be even entertained for a minute, that powerful people might get together and have a plan. Doesn't happen. You're a kook. You're a conspiracy buff.
So it all comes down to oil once again. That's depressing,
yeah,
in a sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Well.
And all of these people that Trump has surrounded himself with, he's either very stupid or he has absolutely no control, because all of the people that he put into power around him, all they've done is backstab him supposedly the entire time they've been in office. And look at how many people have been forced to resign. You know, I mean, just people, it's like a revolving door at the White House. People are going out the door as fast as they come in. And I think that what's happening here is that this is so obvious, just like with Bill and Hillary Clinton and Whitewater. It's so obvious, no matter how hard you try to hide the bodies in the forest, the bodies are just falling out everywhere.
Right.
And I can't wait until researchers, and I'm working on this right now, like I said, I got 20 gigabytes of data, video, audio, government documents. I have a friend of mine in New York, and she's really good. She works for one of them little small newspapers, and she's trying to find out if there's any dead bodies around Trump, if anybody's disappeared. Now, there was one. There is no way to know for sure, but there is one person that disappeared when Trump was a child, long before he got into real estate or even graduated from high school. And it's believed by some, though not proven, nobody's proven this yet, that he was involved with the disappearance of a young girl who at 12 years old spurned him and didn't want anything to do with him. The thing is after her disappearance, and you will see this under the Trump biography and Wikipedia, that, you know, he had trouble as a child with girls and all this. After this girl disappeared, his father sent him to this military academy. And once again, Trump supporters have a mistaken view of him going to this military academy, and they say that proves that he was actually in the military. No, it's a military.
Who says,
you know,
that? Who kind of a moron?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a military academy for troubled youth who have been in trouble with the law.
Yeah,
okay?
Like, dude, if I'm a cashier at the Salvation Army, that doesn't make me a veteran.
Right, yeah. And so the question I have to ask is this. Trump admits that he was in a lot of trouble as a child. He admits this. You know, it's in his blogs, it's in his tweets, all this. You know, I was really bad as a child. The question I have to ask is, how bad were you that you got sent to a reform school run by the state of New York National Guard? How bad were you to get sent there?
I'm sure pretty bad. That's if you were, like, super rich and shit.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Daddy couldn't get him off. If all he did was steal bread from some Jewish bakery, you'd think, oh, our kid got off with a fine. You know, he paid the guy back and said, sorry for stealing your bread. Even if he was involved with the gangs and he was just, you know, selling some ecstasy or whatever they had back in those days.
Yeah, I was going to say,
it's
Jesus,
nothing.
You wouldn't sell fucking ecstasy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, give me a break. Bush admitted he got thrown in the National Guard because he was inebriated while flying.
Yeah.
So it's like, if Bush family can admit it and the Bush daughters got busted for being high on cocaine, what's the problem with Trump saying, oh, okay, so I was high and, you know, I stole a car, my friends and I did, we're stupid kids. No, whatever he did is so bad that it haunts him to this day. And every shrink will tell you his treatment of women has nothing to do with, you know, oh, my wife's a bitch, she's divorcing me and she wants all the money, she wants everything. No, his deep-seated hatred of women goes back to childhood. Any shrink will tell you that. This is a long-standing thing, and a lot of people believe it has to do with his mother and his sister, his older sister. Woo! Boy, I'll tell you what, her and Hillary would probably be in a competition to see who could be the worst at behavior. But I think that whatever it is, it was something in childhood. Maybe it's this thing with this girl.
Yeah.
That disappeared. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just coincidental. Maybe it's another one of those things where like I said, a drill is going on one side of New York and a real shooting is going on the other side. It's just coincidence.
Yeah.
But maybe not. We don't know. And she's doing desperate searches to try and get into his juvenile record. And she says, I'm not going to be able to do it. She goes, they're not going to justify it for me. As no matter how much I try to tell them, it should be a matter of public record. She goes, all juvenile records are sealed.
Yeah.
She goes, he would have to really do something bad as an adult on the level of what he did as a child to have them unseal it. And she goes, I don't see that happening. And she goes, I just don't think I'm going to get it, whatever it is he did. But there is a lot of rumors. And, you know, of course, he's lifelong friends with the Clintons. He's also lifelong friend with Jeffrey Epstein, the convicted pedophile. Trump's name does not come up in the black books, by the way, for anybody that was wondering about the Jeffrey Epstein's black books. But Trump has been known to use aliases just like Clinton did. However, the names that do come up are Ivanka's, Donald Jr., and Eric. Those are in the black books. Now, people say, what are the black books? These are people quest, shall we say, certain types of pleasures that are disgusting. Okay?
All right, yeah.
And
tread carefully here, William. Oh, yes. Jesus. All
yes.
Right.
Okay. So anyways, we've all seen the pictures of him on the internet with his daughter, now with Ivanka. Now, people are going to say,
but,
oh, Bill,
yeah,
you're making too much of it. Well, what about his comment where he said the only thing him and his daughter have in common are, or one of the things that his daughter and him have in common is sex? Ew. He said that right on CNN.
Is
I
what?
Got that.
I'm sorry. I didn't, you cut out.
I'm sorry.
What do they have in common?
He said one of the things that him and Ivanka have in common is sex. He said it right on CNN, got the news footage.
What?
And these
weird.
Christian right people, oh, the CIA green screened it or they did something like that. No, everybody knows about that. The dude is ultra creepy. Did you see during the election when he went up and tried to put his hand on his daughter's behind and Ivanka jerked away from him? I've got that footage too. Even his supporters questioned that on the blogs.
Yeah.
What the hell was that about? What did he try to do? You know?
Yeah, his relationship with her is creepy. I'll definitely say that. I don't know what the hell to make of that, but it's definitely very creepy. He's just a creepy dude. I don't see how people don't see him as creepy. He's fucking creepy, man.
Well, you know, what our mothers used to say when we were kids, I'm sure your mother said it to you at one time or even your dad, you're known by the company you keep.
Oh, yeah.
If you hang out with drug dealers, people are going to think you're a drug dealer, even if you're not. If you hang out with the gangbangers, people are going to think you're a gangbanger. And if you hang out with both convicted and non-convicted pedophiles like Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein, people are going to think you're a pedophile.
Well, that's why I'm happy to have you in my company, Bill, because I think you're a wild child.
No, I have all my life been involved in the conspiracy because I've been a victim of conspiracy, and I've also been a participant, even though the conspiracy I was involved in was not bad. It was a good thing, you know. We helped a person, and we didn't let him know because he didn't want anybody helping him, especially friends. And we're like, you know what, we can help him out. We paid some of his bills, and he didn't know how to do it. Well, that's a good conspiracy, you know. That's like a surprise party.
How was that even a conspiracy? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and you know, so, you know, but remember the original meaning of the word conspiracy in Greek is Christo, which means to breathe together is the original meaning of the word conspiracy. So it has a very innocuous meaning, but of course, you know, in today's terms, we know it to be pretty dark and prevalent.
Yeah,
I've been a victim of a conspiracy. It was like, you know, some massive conspiracy, but, you know, I had some kids that were the bullies of the school when I was a kid, and they wanted to gang up, and I wasn't the only one they conspired against. They played games with other kids, and I just held my ground and said, you know, you are not going to bully me, you're not going to overrun me, and they stole this kid's bag full of his books and then tried to say it was me and told him that if they said it was them, they'd beat him up. And his dad showed up at my parents' house and told my mom, I'm going to beat his ass if I find out he did do it. My mom's like, what? You know, and so she called the school and they called the police and they finally got these four kids to admit, yeah, they stole his bag, and so they all got suspended and everything, and the father came and apologized. But that just goes to show you, you can be conspired against. You know, you can have people do things against you that, you know, you didn't have anything to do with. It's just for whatever reason, somebody thought they could get money out of you, like blackmail, or, you know, just because they didn't like you, they thought you could, they could set you up. You know,
right,
now
right.
take that now take that up to the government level, and you're speaking out against the president or the CIA. And you say, hey, I got some heavy-duty white paper on these guys. I think I can get some media attention. Next thing you know, they find drugs in your car, and the cops are arresting you. You're going, hey, I don't do drugs, cop. You know, and next thing you know, you're getting set up, you know, and you're going, hey, wait a minute. All I was doing was exposing corruption in government. Well, that's, you know, that's how it all began.
And they're like, hey, guess what? You were right.
Yeah. But in the case of Trump, I will admit I have a personal interest in seeing this guy do some serious lovemaking in the federal prison with Buffalo.
Oh, like, well, Jesus. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, dude. I part of me thinks that he's never going to see a day in jail. I think he's, like, too old. He's going to, like, they're going to, like, just sort of shuffle him off like a Ronald Reagan-y type thing. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, part of me also says, like, that he seems cogent enough that I think I was sort of intimating this earlier, but we didn't go down this path. But it's like, the whole thing is, like, if they take him out of office, some people are going to freak out, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You like, the super Trump fans are going to, like, fucking freak out.
Oh, yeah, they are. They already are.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure, yeah.
Now, look at this. You've got guys like Alex Jones, who I had to quit listening to him because he gave me migraines. I mean, he really did. I can't do this anymore. I can't listen to this guy.
Yeah, he's in town.
He is a massive Trump supporter. And Roger Stone, you know, helped form Trump's campaign. Well, everybody does know that Roger Stone was the CIA, and he was involved in Watergate and a bunch of other things for the CIA. What is a guy like Roger Stone doing cohorting with Trump and Alex Jones? Well, here's a little tidbit about Alex Jones. As you know, he's divorced.
Yeah.
Okay? Most people do not know that his wife, who goes by the name Kelly, her real name's Violet, is a dual American-Israeli citizen. This came out in the divorce hearings. She went back to Israel as soon as she got divorced. She wanted to take the kids. He fought, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is look up her background. Her background's available on Wikipedia, just like his is. And you're going to find out that her father was in the Israeli Mossad.
Oh, interesting.
Uh-huh. Now, why would Trump... Why would Alex Jones be supporting somebody like Trump when all Alex Jones does is talk about how evil the government is and the government's the New World Order and they're out to get us all and take our money?
Yeah. Well, that's not even to get in – to sidestep the Israeli part of it. It's just like his whole pivot from like the government is trying to – you know, is oppressive. Now he's like they're trying to. Now he's like they're trying to take down the government. It's like a complete. He's done a complete 180, and it's to me, you know, there are a lot of people that are super Trump fans, and God bless them. But at the same time, it's who are like a part of this conspiracy world, and it's like in my mind, he's not like an ally to this shit. He's not. He could have if he really wanted to blow the whistle on like 9/11 or something, he could have done it. He would have done it in the last year. He could have done it in the last year. Like, I don't believe in this like 8-dimensional chess where he has to go through 6 different layers and hoops and things before he can reveal the truth about Nile. It's like, no, give me a fucking break.
Yeah, I mean, there's people that have revealed 9/11 already for what it is. I mean, they, you know, they've been out there. These are the architects and engineers, all these guys who are pilots, military and civilian, who are experts in this, structural engineers. What does Trump need to do otherwise? I think, if anything, he's sheep-dipped, but I think Alex Jones is too. And basically the take that everyone has in Austin on Jones is that he either works for the U.S. government or he works for the Israeli government. That's the take. Because you do know he has Israeli bodyguards, ex-Mossad.
Oh, yeah?
Take a look at some of the photos of these guys. These guys are definitely Israeli, and they're definitely ex-Mossad. He don't go anywhere now without these bodyguards. Why? Why does Alex Jones need a bodyguard? What, you know?
Yeah, that's, you know, like sort of like all – that's all part of the show in a sense too, though, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what's happening. Like I said, I think that these people, though, they're going to freak out. That's the point. We never got into that, but
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like, what do you think? We saw that, Charlottesville thing. That scared me, in a sense, because it was like, I don't want people, getting violent on these two sides. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, I hate Trump, but I'm not going to fucking really do anything about it.
I'm incredibly lazy. I just let the idiot bury himself. He does it every
right,
day.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You know, I just sit here and watch these fools implode, and I play Call of Duty while having the TV on at the same time, and every time Trump comes on, I flip him the middle finger and say, you're done, you know.
Right,
but anyway,
right.
On the deal of the Trump supporters, I've seen them on Facebook, and oh, man, are they crazy. You know, if they remove Trump from office, that's it. We're going to go take down the government. You know, I'm like, oh, please, you guys have been saying this ever since Clinton was in office. You're going to take down the government. I'll tell you what these militia and super right-wingers are going to do. They're going to sit down. They're going to play Call of Duty, drink their beers, and they're going to read another Tom Clancy novel and think they're Jason Bourne. That's what they're going to do. But some of them might go crazy. Some of them might go off the deep end and do something stupid. That I have no doubt about. But the majority of them are just, they need to quit, you know, doing what they did when they were teenage boys, and they need to grow up, you know.
A lot of them are still teenagers and shit, too, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like, I go on Reddit and shit, and it's like very, you know, a lot of these passionate people are like 19 and shit. It's like, what are you talking about? You know, especially like in the conspiracy discussions and shit. It's like, I've been deep into conspiracy now for like 2 years. I'm 19. I started reading it when I was like, 17 or 18. It's like, listen, folks, here's a tip. Don't do that. It makes you really jaded. It's like, dude, I'm almost 40. No shit. I don't need that kind of advice on. I know. Like, you can't give anyone advice if you're 19, dude. Like, just shut up.
Yeah. But anyways, looking at Trump versus Clinton, this is another thing that really gets me about the Trump supporters. All these women have come forward to accuse Trump of, rape and even incest. Some of them were underage. What none of them read is some of the lawsuits that he actually lost against two of these women. About 10 years ago, he lost some of the civil lawsuits. So for people to say, he's never been convicted, he's never, it's like, go read the lawsuits. I pull them out of the state Supreme Court dockets. You can pull them down for free. You don't even have to pay for them. And you can get those, and you can show the only thing they did was they sealed the settlements that he actually paid out, how much money he paid.
Yeah.
Anytime he loses a lawsuit, he seals how much he pays out. When he wins, he lets the whole thing out. But when he loses, he seals the record. Now, the question I have to these people on the right with Trump, remember that he's lost two lawsuits already against these women. The other women claim that he threatened them and scared them off. How's that any different from Bill Clinton? Remember, the Christian right
is accusing
Bill Clinton, oh, he's a rapist. Really, he was never convicted of it. These women came out of the woodwork only after he became president. Now, some of them, were actually accusing Bill Clinton before he became president, but most of them came out afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with Trump. So how is Trump any more innocent than Bill Clinton is guilty? That's what I want to
say. Right. I'm in the same boat with you there. They're all, like I said before, it's like the lesser of two evils and all that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, let me sort of wrangle you in a little bit. Adam Gorightly, my friend on Twitter, he's an author, he's a great dude. He wants to know if you know anything about Tuesday Weld. Have you heard about this? Like, this is a long-standing, sort of Tuesday Weld cult conspiracy thing. I don't know if you ever looked at that.
I'm not familiar with that one.
All right. I didn't think so, because it's very sort of obscure, but he's the master of that kind of thing. And somebody actually asks, they have a serious question here, which I really don't. I read it, and I'm like, that can't even be a serious question, but they said I'm being serious. Would you, William Zabel, ever consider running for any government position? Would you ever run for office?
No, never.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. When I read that question, I'm like, that's so, I can't imagine,
Yeah. No. No, in fact, I'm slated to leave the United States here probably in a couple of months.
What?
I have German sense, and I'm going to get my citizenship in Germany. I have a girlfriend in Berlin.
Oh.
She works for the Siemens Corporation, and she's a laser technician.
What?
And right now she's working in New Zealand on a big project. And I'm going to go because I don't like this crap in America. We've got too much debt. Everyone hates each other here. Everyone's at each other's throats. And I know Western Europe is bad. You hear all the stories. But I went to Berlin last year, and I think a lot of these stories about all the Muslims have raped half the women in Berlin, oh, it's a load of crap. That's all CIA propaganda to keep everyone, you know, going at the Muslim throats. Do they have problems? Of course they do. Is it as bad as the American newspapers say? No, it's nowhere near it. And these are not even the mainstream papers. These are these right-wing rags run by so-called ultra-patriots who are all unemployed, but they have money to rent an office and run a printing press? Yeah, yeah.
Now, wait a minute. I need to – because I'm fascinated, William. So wait. So you're moving to Germany.
Yep.
How did you meet this girl? Congratulations, ma'am. I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you. I don't know what to say. I'm blown away, you know.
Yeah, it was years ago. She had come across my website when it was still active. She's kind of a conspiracy type, the Siemens Corporation. That's like the German version of a CIA cutout, you know. And we got to talking, and she sent emails and everything. And she's kind of disappointed the website didn't stay up. And I said, well, you know,
we all are.
You know, I worked umpteen million hours, and, you know, it's kind of hard to keep the website up. And one thing went to another. And last year, I'd had it with everybody in this town, the nonsense that goes on here. This is like Peyton Place where I live. I mean, there's nice people here. But some of these business owners, our cops are so stupid, they don't even qualify to be Barney Fifes. I mean, I would rather have, I would rather have those actors here being real cops than these guys. They miss half the crimes that go on. They don't think anything's happening. I'm sick of the politics. My family hates me. They hate each other.
Oh, no.
Aunts, uncles, and cousins are all at each other's throats. They all hate each other, you know. And I'm just like,
so you're like,
enough of
so is this like a, so this is like a romantic thing though? You're love? Is this love?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man, great.
I'm like, German woman, I'm the hell out of here. Fuck America was basically my attitude last year. And I got over there and I thought, well, I'll just fill out the paperwork now. And they said, no, you only have a 90-day Schengen visa for the Schengen area, but this is going to take longer than 90 days. You're going to have to return home and wait. And I said, how long? And they said, probably a year or a little bit better. And I'm like, oh, my God. But while I was over there, I rented a BMW, and we drove all over, hit the nightclubs. Her dad is a Berlin police officer in the intelligence division. And we got to talking about things like 911 and all that.
He goes,
you have no idea what we know. He says, your researchers hit it dead on as far as how the buildings went down and stuff, but he says, they don't know the real reason for it. He says wars are just a little teeny percentage of it. He said this was about oil and money and people going to jail, which is what that lawyer told me.
Yeah.
And we talked and talked and everything, and I didn't want to go home after a week. I was like, I don't want to come home, but unfortunately I have international calling on my phone, and everybody's calling, Bill, what the hell did you do? Where'd you go? And I'm like, what? I said, I want to stay here. And they're like, you got to come home. You got a business to run. And I'm like, I don't want to go home. I really didn't.
I'm blown away. This is amazing. Every time you're on here, you just amaze me. So what's going to happen to the car wash?
It's the owner can find somebody else to run that. I mean,
I thought you were the owner.
Well, part owner. I own half of it. He basically, on the new one up there, he bought the land and I built the building. And so it's a mutual deal. And I told him, I said, you know, I'll sell you my half. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired. I'm bored. I really wanted to go back to Hollywood. And then I was like, no, there's too many skeletons in the closet there. I don't want to go back there either.
Oh, Jesus.
And,
what do you mean? Oh, Christ. This is – we can go past the hour, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Because we got – all right.
But
you sold the other half. Did anyone ever show up from the show asking for a free car wash?
No, uh-uh, no.
You know, you people all disappoint me.
I thought someone in the listening audience would show up. would show up and get a free car wash. So
yeah, I was hoping so too. But yeah, the other one down south, I own that one, but that one I own completely. But that is so old, and you know, it's like in gang territory.
Where is
that? That was one that was a real cheap car wash, and I asked him if he wanted to buy that from me down there, and he's like, no, that's in gang territory. And I asked my cousin, he goes, I'm not buying that piece of crap, you know. And then I've got land in New Mexico.
Jesus.
I've got, you know, land down in the San Luis Valley, and I want to sell all this stuff, and there's no buyers, there's no takers for all this, and I want to get out of all my stock. I own stock in GoPro cameras, if you've heard of the GoPro.
Oh, yeah, I know
cameras.
GoPro, yeah.
You know, I own a lot of that stock, and it's like, I want to sell all this. I just want to go to Germany, and everybody's like, the economy sucks, and it's like, oh, it's great. So I'm stuck with all this land, all these buildings, you know.
Sell them to some Russians, dude.
Yeah, I'll sell to the real. And so anyways, you know, the car wash up there, I mean, I think he's kind of him-hon, but I think he'll buy out my part of it. And I mean, I got more money invested than he does. I mean, the land was nothing. It's just a piece of scrub next to a laundromat. That's
Jeez.
All it was. It's just
I just started GoFundMe among BOA listeners, and we'll buy the car wash.
Yeah, yeah, maybe just go up, you know, just see if
Is it in operation still?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is this the one
that's
called My Car Wash? Didn't you say you named it My Car Wash?
Yeah, I just handle everything that needs to be handled. This guy, I mean, he's more like one of those silent investors. He's always over in Europe with his ski bunny wife and running
around.
That's going to
be you someday soon.
Yeah, I hope so, because, you know, I see the dark signs coming on America, and I see a bad economy, $20 trillion in debt, a military that's broken. We have people that are serving 5, 6, 7 tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan, coming home with PTSD. You see them all over Denver walking up down the streets. We've got a generation of millennials that they can't even find their ass with both hands. And this
right.
is the future of America. And if the millennials are the future, we're done, you know.
Yeah.
We better beg Putin to nuke us and get it over with, because that would be a lot better end than what's coming. And the end I see coming is basically people, well, what you see right now, living in the streets. You have people that work, single mothers that work, that can't afford rent because of people like Trump who keep flipping these properties and raising rent, and they're living in their cars with their kids, but they're working two jobs. Got to stop somehow.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why, you know, that's why when I started thinking about leaving, I was telling this guy, I said, do you want to buy the whole car wash instead of just the land that you bought for me? Because, like I said, it basically, I built the place and everything. And he just bought the land. And he's like, well, yeah, I probably could. And, you know, but the economy, you know, and I'm like, hey, I'm doing $700 a day. The other car washes are lucky if they're doing $50 a day. I
yeah.
do better than anybody in town. I said, you wouldn't be getting a rotten apple here.
Right.
But my land in New Mexico is like 30 miles from the Mexican border, and nobody wants it. They're like, you're out in the middle of nowhere south of Deming, you know. And I'm like, yeah, but it's a nice spot, you know. It's really cool out there, you know. And then down the San Luis Valley, I mean, that's 25 acres down there. And where it's at, unfortunately, is in the direct flight path of these overflights, you know,
oh,
that the Air Force does when they're doing their testing runs, their military operational area. And I was down there, and I'm looking up, and here goes these F-16s and F-18s, and I'm like, what is this, you know? I mean, how in the world would you build a house and live down there with those idiots flying over all the time? So that was a mistake purchase that I'm probably never going to be able to sell. And, you know,
yeah,
I've got so many cars here, it's not funny. I got a Honda, Accord station wagon. I've got a 93 Trans Am. I've got a 98 BMW, you know, and I got a 4-wheel drive Chevy pickup, and it's like the Beamer, if I had a for sale sign on, and I thought people used to love BMWs, but for some reason, not anymore. Nobody wants it.
How much are you selling the BMW for?
$3,600 on that, and that's, you know, my price with rebuilding the transmission. I had it rebuilt and everything, so basically I'm
$3,600 for a BMW. So that's Well, listeners, that's your cue. 3,600. I think there's somebody in the audience who could afford to buy William Zabel's BMW. So especially somebody in the Colorado area.
Yeah, and I was just looking at it, I'm like, you see what's coming, and all you can think of is to run. And people are like, well, why go to Europe? And I'm like, because Europe is not $20 trillion in debt.
Yeah, and it's been around forever. It'll last longer. It'll stand the test of time. Don't worry about her. Yeah. We're gonna go past the hour. Thanks to all the folks who've been in the chat room tonight. It's been hopping, as I expected, with William Zabel in the house. So thanks to those folks, and thank you. We're gonna keep going, William, but I'll just sort of do a little cut here for the live audience. So thank you to all the people who listened live. Me and William, we'll probably talk for like another 20 minutes or so. So if you're listening live, be sure to check out the MP3. And William, you don't have the Columbine Conspiracy website anymore. So you just is it okay if we just bump people over to Facebook to see you? They're looking for you.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
William gets a little wild on Facebook. I spoke to him about it earlier in the show, off the air. He knows. He knows. He's a wild child. That's what I said earlier. He's a wild child. So
yeah.
You know. Buyer beware.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll be honest, though, and my friend, he said the same thing. He's not into this stuff, but I had posted you were going to be on the show, and I linked with your thing, and he thought, because it's very few people in this conspiracy thing that are, like, as vehemently anti-Trump as you. He was like, I thought this guy was going to be, like, crazy super Trump fan, and then I go on there, and it's like, I guess he's not. He seems to hate him. So it's like, kudos to you, man, for not being in lockstep on this, because I've seen a lot of people that are in lockstep, and it's like, this guy's not, you know, I said on the show with a different guest, it's like, if this guy's trying to overthrow the New World Order, it's like, I don't want the dude who isn't good enough to be in the New World Order to run the new World Order, if that makes
well,
sense.
The thing is, I wonder how close I came to being in the New World Order when I lived in L.A. and, you know, I married into a show business family, and my ex and I were invited out to the Bohemian Grove. And it's like, what the hell's that? I mean, that was in the mid-80s, and it's like, what? Where's
that? Did
you
go to Bohemian Grove?
No, because my mother-in-law found out, and she goes, you're not going out there. And I said, well, what is it? You know, I mean, so what if they got some drugs or whatever out there? She goes, you have no idea what you're talking about. And I said, tell me. And she set us down, and I said, what? And she'd gone out there back when she married my father-in-law in the 70s. And she says, you stay the hell away from that stuff. She goes, that is dangerous. And we don't even know who invited us. We never knew. Yeah. It was just some lady at a party. She says, oh, she goes, I got a place you guys, you know, should go party at. We had no idea what it was. And I've always wondered, you know, how did I get in contact with some of these people that I don't know, was never interested in anything they did? Why would they be gunning for me? Well, over the years, as I've talked to other researchers, Russ Dizdar and others, and I start telling them about my background, the first thing they do is they go, you were in what in high school? And I said, DMLA. And they go, and you were in the Masons after high school? I said, yeah. And they said, well, you know, and I said, yeah, but I said, you know, people talk and say these organizations are part of it. And they said, how high up do you go? And I said, first degree. And it was so stupid, I quit. And they said, well, that was a good thing for you. My grandfather was a lot higher up than me. My grandmother was a grand worthy matron, you know, of Eastern Star, you know, of the big Denver chapter. And my mother was a Rainbow Girl in Eastern Star. And I was like, you know, I've read the books on this stuff, and I thought, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, I know all organizations are going to have their hierarchy at the top that do things that are nasty that they don't tell the rest of the people.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Boy Scouts, you know.
Right.
You know, so I thought, that doesn't demonize all of them. But then when you go and look at corporate America, and it's like, hey, wait a minute, all these guys high up in corporate America are all Freemasons. They're all Masons. Is that coincidence, or do you have to be in one of these organizations to go high up anywhere in government or corporate America?
I almost think you do, because it's like, I'm not in one. I ain't doing shit. So
Yeah. But you know but I mean? Anyway, for you can tell people this. We're on the air, man.
We're still on the we're not live, but we're recording. So shit. Yeah, I thought you knew that.
Okay.
You didn't say now you didn't want anyone to know, right?
No, that's right. I want to let your listeners know if they're trying to figure out why I'm so anti-Trump. And I told you earlier it was personal with me. Let me tell you why it's personal.
Oh, you didn't mention. Okay. I don't know if you did say that. All right.
Yeah, because I mentioned it was personal with me, but I think we went on to something else. So
I find that very easy to believe. So, okay, so how did you how was it personal between you and Trump?
Anyways, what happened was my mother-in-law sent my wife and I to New York. She wanted to open an equipment rental place in New York for the film and television community. She was one of those types that she has to get into every market, blah, blah, blah. So we're like, okay, fine. So we got an apartment in Manhattan, and we're looking around, and we're looking through the papers. You know, the internet was non-existent back then, so you had to go through the papers. We were going through everything, and finally we find this building. It's a warehouse, not a very big one. We're like, oh, maybe she'll like that. Let's do it. And she says, yeah, go see. So we went to a place called 44 Wall Street, and this was a leasing office that leased these properties. And this lady's like, oh, yeah, yeah, you're going to like this. Oh, yeah, you can set it up and customers can come in. There's a front area that's retail and you can set equipment up in the windows so people can see it. And, you know, all these bohemian New York film students, they can see your equipment, come in and rent it. Oh, yeah. So she had us going. We're like, oh, yeah, this is going to work out great. So the purchase price was $500,000. Not bad considering it's New York, but, you know, it's not in the best part of town, but it's a warehouse district, so we figure, what the hell? You know, kids will go anywhere to rent cheap equipment for their student films, so we figure, what the hell? It's not bad.
Yeah.
So my mother-in-law got the money ready. She transferred it, and then the lady says, oh, you've got to go down to the city and county office, and she goes, you have to get your own certificate of occupancy. And we're like, what's that? We had no idea what that was. Okay, well, we'll go down there. So we went down there, and we're in line, and we got our paperwork, and we walk up to the counter, and we said we need a certificate of occupancy, and she goes, well, fill out this form. You got to tell us what kind of business it is, the address. You got to go through all this. Do you have any dangerous chemicals or anything like that? All this stuff you have to fill out. So we filled everything out. We got back up to the counter, and she typed it in. You know, back then the computers were old, slow-ass IBM. You have to wait forever. So we're sitting there, and she goes, wait a minute. She goes, is this address correct? And we looked at the monitor. We said, yeah. She goes, how did you get this building? We went into a leasing office, and they had some property available. We saw it in the newspaper.
Right.
My mother-in-law transferred the money. We bought it. She goes, you can't have this building. It's condemned. She goes, how did these people get this building? And they said, they told us we bought it from the city of New York. That's what they told us. And she goes, no. She goes, that building belongs to the Port Authority. She goes, it's to be condemned and torn down. And we're like, oh, crap, we got ripped off. You know, we're mad just like anybody else, you know, that gets ripped off. We had no idea Trump owned this company. No idea at all. You know,
did you get your money back?
No, we never did. My mother-in-law sued, and it basically Trump fought her for a year. And I don't know if he did it personally or his lawyers did it or somebody else. But we basically got told to go do ourselves, you know, go screw yourself. You're not getting your money back. So we gave it to my mother-in-law. I mean, her lawyers are, you know, big time in L.A., so we thought she would handle it. And we stayed a few more months, and that's and partied and had a good time. And that's when we found out that Trump owned that building and the leasing office in there. And we're like, well, that guy's kind of a shyster. We knew he was, you know, everybody knew even back in the 80s he was kind of unsavory.
Everybody in New York knows he's bad.
And it was like, well, this sucks, you know. We're getting ripped off here. We didn't do anything wrong. We did everything in good faith. We gave the money, you know. It's not like we asked the guy to finance it or anything. My mother-in-law paid cash. She wire transferred the money. He got his money. We got the building. It's just that he wasn't supposed to have it. And that, I find out, is a common theme with him. He has properties in New York that are legally condemned, that were condemned by the city of New York, and some of them are actually owned by the city of New York. So how did he get them? So anyways, that's my personal vendetta against him. Whether he personally knew that he was ripping us off or not, he has a history of ripping people off. He has
Absolutely.
A history.
Yeah, yeah.
He has a history of not paying his contractors. He has a history of not paying his employees. He sexually harasses his female employees. He told the woman at Mar-a-Lago, you know, he goes, "Why are you putting on weight?" And she goes, "Well, I'm pregnant." He goes, "You're fired." You know, so I just see him as the bane of everyone's existence. He is
yeah.
just somebody that needs to disappear into the swamps in Florida and live there. You know, I'll let him go live with the alligators because that's where he belongs. But it's like I've told all. I said, if I have to personally go to Washington, D.C. and sit on the White House lawn with a sign that says, "You corrupt piece of shit, you will leave this White House in handcuffs if I'm the one that has to do it myself," I'll do it. I've got enough money to spend a couple of months in D.C. You know,
wow.
I'll sit there on the White House lawn with a sign saying, "This guy rips everybody off." And you think he's not ripping you off as president? Think again.
Now, you said you were thinking about going to Hollywood, but you're going to go to Germany instead, which is a fascinating,
yeah, and that
you
was,
know, this is
yeah,
like
a,
what could have been, you know?
Well, the fact is I was in Hollywood for a while. I lived there. I was married
to oh, yeah,
a Hollywood family.
Yeah.
And so, but I wanted to go back because I really wanted to, you know, get back into that life. And that was right before my mother died. And my mother's like, "Don't go back there." She goes, "You don't need that crap anymore in your life." She goes, "You know, that's part of your past. Just, you know, let it go and go on and do what you're doing now." Or
I got to ask you, William, I got to ask you this because I'm going to jump in here. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because this ties to, like, all we've been talking about tonight, too, because we've been catching up on these conspiracies since the last time I talked to you. And it's like I'm really – all this, like, sex shit makes me very uneasy. But we can't, you know, we'd be remiss without discussing how there's, like, there's two now sex conspiracies, I guess you could say. There's this Pizzagate thing, which is a continuation of the whole 80s child sacrifice, child shit, you know what I'm saying? All that stuff. That was
yeah.
in the 80s. Now it's, like, being reborn in this new generation with Pizzagate. But then
yeah.
I think that's kind of overblown and crazy. But then it's been mirrored by this real you know, sexual conspiracy that's sort of like coming out of Hollywood. And of course that's why I want to, what's why I bring it up to you, because you know, you're my man in Hollywood. So you would
yeah.
know, I'm sure, you know, like I said, this is why this shit makes me uneasy. I don't want you like telling me some crazy story about, well, I would like to hear the story, but I don't want you to implicate anybody or anything like that. But I'm sure
no.
you've, you know, you were in Hollywood, man. I'm sure you can say, I get the feeling you're going to say, you know, the depraved shit you're hearing now is like the tip of the fucking iceberg, right?
Well, I think it is. But once again, I want to reiterate that it's just like government. Not everyone in Hollywood is involved in this stuff. This
right,
is
right.
a this is an elite within the elite of Hollywood. And there are definitely people out there that I know who have no problem with having sex with underage people, you know, whether it's a 40-year-old movie director banging some 16-year-old or even younger. They don't see a problem with it. And then there's those who are totally crazed, who are the absolute worst of anybody that you could think of who's a child diddler. And these are the people power. These are the pseudo religious types in Hollywood.
Pseudo.
That
pseudo.
They believe that, you know, if they have sex with this virgin, you know, this 10-year-old virgin, it's going to give them power. You know, it's going to give them, you know, vitality or whatever. There are those types in Hollywood, but there's
yeah.
also those types in government and academia. You'll find those everywhere. And if you look up in criminal science, you'll see that criminal profilers within the pedophile groups have different categories of pedophiles. You have the base ones that just, you know, it's just a sickness with them. They just can't help themselves. Then you have the ones that, you know, it's, you know, they're just like, well, you know, she was just there at the party. Yeah, so she's underage, whatever. And then you have these real crazy, crazy types. You know, and within these crazy types is where you find the child sex rings, the child pornography rings. These are the guys.
Yeah,
that
like the occult end of it and shit.
Yeah, they do it for the money and the power. And unfortunately, I had been to parties where, you know, these types were at. And as soon as we saw things getting weird, it's like, hey, there's some underage girls here. Let's go. You know, my ex was like, yeah, we got to get out of here. Roman Polanski was a minor case compared to some of the others. I mean,
right.
There are some that are way over the top. Demi Moore, in case you've never seen the video, that was released by, I can't remember who, was it her housekeeper or somebody else that released the video where she's tonguing some 10-year-old boy. And she was like in her late 30s. It was right after she did G.I. Jane. And it was a movie she did right after that, one of those family-type movies. And it was they were screwing around. It wasn't actually a scene for the movie, but they were rolling with the camera, and she's tonguing a 10-year-old boy.
Jesus.
And they say that that is what finally destroyed her career and her marriage, was when that came out. Because that came out like 2004. It didn't make wide circulation on the internet, and then all of a sudden somebody got a hold of it and put it on YouTube. There are definitely some weird types like that, and there's some of them that don't care, who knows, because they think they're insulated from prosecution. You have Michael Jackson. I mean, that thing was so bizarre with him that it just, you know, and he, God only knows who he was involved with at the top. Now, maybe he was just a low-level player, and Sony decided to save their top asset by covering for him. I don't know. But, you know, any man who, you know, admits, oh, yeah, all these little boys slept in the same bed with me, but we didn't do anything. And it's like, well, when you were being accused, you got on a Learjet with these boys and tried to get them out of the country, and you went to Costa Rica and other countries. What was that all about if you're not guilty of anything?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's weird, yeah.
You know, and so you have this group. Now, Pizzagate, I always wondered about. I was like, was that overblown and it was just like one or two cases of pedophilia, and because supposedly Podesta and Hillary were involved, the right built it up into this massive pedophile conspiracy? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, the whole thing seems to me like it was a lot of smoke and no fire. It was a lot of like people connecting dots that were like not really there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole basis for it is like there's a secret code. It's like, you know, I'm sorry, I don't think there's a secret. Like, if there's a secret code, you don't use like normal words. You don't like, you say like, it's not like water. Like, water is a terrible secret code word. Because it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like wind. It's windy out. What?
Yeah.
You want me to order a hooker for you? No, dude, I'm just saying it's windy out. It's like, oh, well, the code, you know. I mean, how many times did they actually want pizza? And then, you know.
Yeah.
And then they send over a bunch of sex slaves.
Yeah.
It's like, no, dude, we're trying to feed a we're trying to feed a meeting here, dude. We need actual pizza.
Yeah.
You know, terrible code words is what I'm saying, William.
You know, if people want to see the real dirt, the real dirtiness, you know, the John DeCamp thing up there, that's
amazing.
What was really going on.
Yeah, the,
you know,
yeah,
and I've talked to John DeCamp many, many times. He came down here on the Columbine issue and everything, and we talked, and he said he finally just had to get out of it. He said his life was being threatened and everything. He said, I finally had to drop it. You know, he says that gets so dangerous. He says, if Columbine falls into that what some families were saying, that Harris and Klebold were diddled as children and maybe even raped by, supposedly, according to one witness in Jefferson County, by a sheriff's deputy, he says, you need to get out as fast as you can. Drop the research and run, because he says, you get into that, those people, cops, whoever, they will kill to keep that covered up.
I would imagine.
Yeah, he says they're not going to let you walk away with that information if you get it. So he says if you find it, run. Well, I never did find it. It was just one witness that claimed, you know, that he saw Harris getting bent over the hood of a police car. And, you know,
yeah, I remember you
talking
about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I always questioned that and thought, how the hell do you keep that covered up? You know, pedophilia comes out every day. Teachers are getting busted. Cops are getting busted.
Right.
How do you keep that covered up? And so I kind of let that aspect of Columbine go, especially when, you know, you've got some type of military operation going on inside the school. You've got these men dressed in black on surveillance cameras, and people seeing them, the kids are seeing these guys running back and forth shooting. I'm kind of like, I think Harrison Klebold were just a couple of Lee Harvey Oswalds that were mad at being arrested, and they use these two kids to say they did it, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm going to make a challenge. I'll challenge you, William, because
okay.
20th anniversary is next year, right?
Yep.
I want you to take your stuff and get it out there finally in sort of like a packaged form. Because, I mean, the website,
okay.
You don't even have the website up anymore, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you're like, there was another guy that was into the Columbine conspiracy, but he left the country too. He kind of vanished, so I've never really...
Was that Justin Tribble? Was
I
that
think
him?
It may have been.
Yeah.
But
I don't understand what happened to him. He said something. He's friends on Facebook, and he said something that, you know, he said something wrong to somebody, and cops got called or something like that.
There was a dude who made a movie. I'd have to look it up. I can't find it. But, yeah, there's a guy that made a movie about the Columbine conspiracy. And, I wanted to get him on the show after I talked to you, but it was like he said he was like in fucking Zimbabwe or some African country. He like left the country. He was doing missionary work, some shit, something like crazy like that.
Yeah.
And I kind of lost track of him after that. So.
Well, I know there's a pastor down in South Africa, and he thinks that like me, and he's onto this thing with a lot of these people who claim to be victims of shootings and are not. And he actually believes that people that were killed at Columbine are kind of like at Las Vegas. They're people we don't know, and that the victims they show on TV are not the real victims.
Hmm.
I just kind of dismissed him a little bit, you know. I was kind of like, well, you know, I don't know. But he's a pastor down in South Africa, and he claims that near where he lives, there is a U.S. Marshals facility there where there are people in the witness protection program. He says it's not supposed to be known, but just about everybody down here knows it's there. And he says there's people there that he's recognized from the United States that are living and hiding there.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I'm not going to say it on Facebook, but he says, we ever get to talk over the phone, he says, I'll give you some names. But he says, they monitor Facebook. But he says, you know, you already told me you know names of people. You think they're not going to look at that and go, let's go down and talk to this guy? I told him, I said, South Africa is not like the United States. You can disappear down there and nobody will ask questions.
Right,
you know,
right, yeah.
They'll find some lion eating your remains out in the desert out there, you know. They'll feed you the big kitties or something, you know.
What?
And, you know, you got to be careful down there. In America, we're kind of insulated. As long as we're public, we're probably safe.
William, you say that, but then
yeah,
somebody
true,
said
then,
somebody said. I guess it's an existential question. I'd like to put it to you, but somebody was like, because you and I were talking about how it seems like the world is like worse than ever. Someone's
yeah.
like, isn't that always the case? But now, in response to what you're saying about how, like, up here we're kind of normal and something, like they find that dude and his wife, and they had, like, 13 kids chained
oh,
up
yeah.
in their house. It's like, there's weird fucking crazy people everywhere, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think what it is in America is that we have our corruption here just like any other country, but because there's so much media here, because there's so many people watching, the corrupt people have to be careful to a certain extent.
Right.
Unless
right.
you are absolutely so high level that you're right next to the Clintons or the Bushes and you've got their financial statements and you know where the drug money is, unless you're somebody like that, you're probably just going to get denounced as a conspiracy nut or whatever. It's the people that are really high up in these areas, you know, like Seth Rich and these other guys, you know, that have access to this stuff. These are the guys that disappear. Now, that doesn't
right.
mean they didn't try to disappear me. There were a few times, you know, that
I thought you got
people,
disappeared after that time we talked to you originally.
Yeah.
You vanished
well,
for like 5 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was a lot of things going on, and I got followed every time I went to Jefferson County. The damn cops would follow me around, and finally I got out one day. I said, what? You know, and they're like, well, we're supposed to watch you. You know, you're considered dangerous. And I'm like, if I'm dangerous, arrest me. Otherwise, leave me alone.
Yeah,
because
you're
harmless. They were doing this to a bunch of guys from Rocky Mountain gun owners who were going down there, and they were protesting the anti-gun majors after Columbine, and Jefferson County was following them around and harassing them, and they said, you know what, you need to knock it off. We're going to sue, you know.
Right, right.
And I thought, well, let's lay low for a while. Let's try to put the documentary together, try to put the book together. And then one thing led to another, and people, you know, were saying, well, what about all this other stuff you've researched? And, you know, and I've researched a lot of things, Virginia Tech,
yeah,
Sandy Hook, and people are saying, well, you know, can you give me information on that? So I was always bundling stuff up.
You should launch a blog DVD or something, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, people really like you a lot.
They want to hear what you have to say. And you're colorful. You have some really colorful opinions on things. I mean, you know, I don't agree with you on all this stuff or a lot of this
stuff. Oh, no. No, and
but
I don't.
Like, I can have
everyone
a civil conversation with you about it, and I enjoy your perspective on things.
Yeah, and I know everyone's not going to agree with me on everything. I even have people get on Facebook about Columbine and say, "Oh, come on, Bill, it had to be Harrison Klebold." And I'm like, "Did you read the documents where the kids were talking? It's not just me talking to them personally, where they said they saw their suspects. It's they said it to law enforcement investigators. If you lie to a cop, you go to jail. You know, these kids, even under threat of arrest, they stuck to their story." I said, "How do you explain that? You know, when the cops are sitting there going, well, we've only got evidence of Harrison Klebold, so we're going to ask you to sign this admonishment form." And they'd say, "We're not signing jack. We saw other suspects. We did not see Harrison Klebold, and that's it." And so when it comes to Columbine, they say, "Well, we've read the list of the ballistics evidence, and there is no evidence of other suspects." And I said, "Well, what about the cops and their bullets?" "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "There was one cop that fired 137 rounds into the library. You really think with those kids laying on the floor that he didn't hit a few of them, or that he didn't actually put some of them on the floor?" I said, "You do know the cops were there before Harrison Klebold started shooting." "Well, where's that?" "In the documents. Read." See, this is a problem, is people don't read anymore, Tim. They just
don't agree,
read.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Read the documents. Look at the distances these two boys had to shoot from. They couldn't hit the broad side of a barn, and almost everyone there on the outside of the school describes people that are other than Harrison Klebold, including the adult who I tracked down to Jefferson County to the fire department. It turns out he was working undercover for John Stone, and he was trying to get close to all these kids. And the fact is, he turned out to be somebody completely different than everybody knew. He is a former Army Ranger who got defrocked in the Army, going under an assumed name, working in the fire department. What does that tell you? Undercover operation of some kind.
Right.
You have both sets of parents who are involved in big money people. Wayne Harris was involved in flight safety. They created simulators for the stealth fighters. Everything they did was top secret. You had Thomas Klebold. He was involved in a lot of things, and it turns out that he's working for the FBI. I've got him on video, taken by a BBC reporter who was there, who happens to be a big researcher, who, guess what, died 4 years after the Columbine shooting. He was found on the side of Highway 85 in his car with a heart attack, and he is the one that I verified with him the footage. And I said, "Who is this on the passenger side?" And he says, "I'll tell you who it is. It's Thomas Klebold." He says, "What the hell is the father, one of the suspects, doing dressed like an FBI agent being escorted off the property?" And I said, "That's a good question."
Yeah.
4 years after we had that discussion, he ends up dead on the side of the road of a heart attack. Now, he did have an alcohol problem, so people are going to say that's what caused it. And he was on the same network that I was a guest on. He had a show on the network, and he was talking about what we talked about on Columbine. He was talking about Virginia Tech and how this kid couldn't have done the shooting, that the doors to the school were locked from the outside. Somebody chained the doors after he went in with the gun, locked him in there with all those kids, and, you know, and this went on, and then all of a sudden, you know, he ends up dead. And he's not the only one. I mean, we talked about Gary Webb. Gary Webb ended up dead, too. because of his exposure of the CIA. There's lots of researchers that, you know, end up shooting themselves in the back of the head, you know. You know, or they're found with jumper cables, you know, on their nipples tied to a battery, and they're laying in water, and they did it to themselves because they were depressed and killed themselves. Well,
yeah, normally I usually pay for that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And so you have all these people dropping dead like this, and I'm like, for instance, I mean, they even the most unconspiratorial person who does statistics determined that even two people who witnessed the Kennedy assassination and knew that the shots came from the grassy knoll, the chances of even two of those witnesses dying within 10 years of that assassination are 1 billion to 1, and it being coincidence. Anytime you have witnesses disappear like that after those events, who were crucial witnesses in the case, who saw other suspects, that's a cleanup operation. And even statisticians prove that with their statistics, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's why you have to get all this shit out there, man. That's why you got to write this book. You got to get, you know.
Yeah. Well, the documents, they're all PDF documents, and they're all built into a web page. So if anybody wants them, all they got to do is give me their address, and I can send it to them on DVD, and it has an index page, and it will take you through all the documents, and the pages in the PDF actually have a highlight that show you the kids that I talked to told the cops the same thing they told me, and it goes down the list. I also show you the ballistics evidence where they found weapons other than Harrison Klebold's at the scene. I told you they found the AR-15 in Clements Park Lake, and that one of the kids, his mother was a police officer, and she had an AR-15 missing from the trunk of her car.
Are you surprised that this never, like, took off as one of the big conspiracy theories, in a sense? Like, it didn't really, you know, Sandy Hook kind of, like, supplanted it as this, like, as the, I don't want to say, like, preeminent, but as the primary school shooting conspiracy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was a little bit disappointed because Americans, even by the time Columbine happened, were very suspicious of their government, very suspicious of things like Iran-Contra, Whitewater, Oklahoma City. You know, a lot of Americans were all questioning that.
Waco.
But I think the problem with the school shootings is that's too close to home for Americans. It's one thing if they're running drugs through MENA, Arkansas, or they kill some cult member in Waco, you know, or they kill some right winger at Ruby Ridge. But if the government is in your schools, shooting up your schools and killing your children,
that's too much.
Nobody wants to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Well, what
are
you supposed to do about that? Yeah, you're kind of fucked. I mean, there's nothing you can really.
Yeah. Until it happens to you, and then all of a sudden you're out there, you know, protesting the whole thing. And in the case of...
That's the story of life, until it happens to you.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, so, it's a serious problem. And these shootings continue. They just had one today. Where was it? Kentucky. I've got to pull the stuff down for that. And they had a school shooting. And the thing about school shootings is that if you look back in the history of this country, these things were rare. I mean, before Columbine and Jonesboro and Paducah, mostly you had shootings outside the school property on the street, gangbangers, things like that.
I mean, isn't that all a product of, like, how they that the Columbine one, I'm sure it wasn't, like, the first one, but it was so deadly that it, like, became such a national concern. And then that it's as Lauren Coleman wrote a fantastic book about this, where the copycat effect. It was like that, you know, that horrible fucking event, like, left an indelible mark in a lot of young people's minds. And for some reason, I guess, you know, because that was, almost 20 years ago. So some of these people who are shooting up places now weren't even born when that happened.
Which is
kind of amazing when you think about it. Like, there was a shooting today in a high school, and there's no fucking, you know, that kid had to have been born after Columbine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's turned into a weird, I don't want to say cult, but it's like a weird thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what you call it, but it's like this copycat effect has snowballed now to the point where these things are normal.
Yeah. And the thing is that if you go back and you look into these shooters' backgrounds and you look at their lives, in almost all cases, with the exception of a few, you will find that they had at least one parent in the military and quite possibly in military intelligence. The kid was on, most of these kids are on these psychotropic drugs. And where did these psychotropic drugs come from? Well, they came out of the CIA's MKUltra program. That's where all these drugs came from, was the CIA's research into mind control. You know, and even though pharmaceutical companies are the ones pushing these drugs, go back and look at their research and where they got the research from. And they were doing the research for the CIA in the 50s and 60s. So really, all of these drugs actually come out of the government's mind control research. Now, whether these school shooters are like a lab accident or whether the government is purposely creating these robotic killers, it doesn't matter, because as a lawyer, you could go back and say, you helped the pharmaceutical companies create these drugs, you financed it, you let the pharmaceutical companies test this on unsuspecting Americans, you, the CIA, are culpable, the pharmaceutical companies are culpable, it doesn't matter if you were involved in a conspiracy or not, your drugs caused somebody to flip out and kill somebody. So
right.
Whether people believe in the conspiracy or not, it does not matter. The government financed this research. They wanted to know how to control minds. They told Congress that was the goal, was to control the minds of people, that they wanted to use this on foreign agents to turn them to our side. And they admitted that they did this in prisons. They did it in psychiatric hospitals. They did it on college campuses. And the fact is that when you read some of the papers by these high-level CIA and other people that work for the government, ultimately you find this is part of their mind conditioning for their new world order. It's to make people palatable to this global society they want to create. And the papers already say that if we just tell people we want a one world government, they're not going to go for it. They're not going to consent to it. But if we acclimate them to it, if we create violence, if we create this mind numbing effect and get them to follow it, then we will have it. And who was it that said? Was it Aldous Huxley himself that said it? We will have global government by consent or conquest.
Yeah.
One of them said that. So the whole mind control research, all of this, all plays into this. Whether they wanted these shootings or whether they were a side effect of their mind control research matters very little.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they caused it. They are culpable for these murders. The government is. Whether they allowed it to happen, whether they pushed it to happen, or whether they were like, oops, one of our lab monkeys ran amok.
Right.
They're still culpable.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I agree there's like a medication connection to it, but it's like, I don't think they'll ever really, they won't ever like.
I don't think they'll ever prove it completely.
Right. They're never going to be like, oh, it was definitely because all these people are on relatively the same medication.
There are millions of people on these drugs, and yet only a small fraction of them are going off. So
yeah, but isn't that the whole thing where it's like, you know those commercials where they show the, you know, they show the drug and they have that huge list? And it's like, you know, if you take the drug, you could end up, you know, sleepwalking off a cliff.
Yeah.
And it's like, we have to put that in there because three people did. So it's like, maybe that's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's, it only takes one person to be the outlier of these weird drug trials and shit. So who knows?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But they're not going to put that on the commercial. They're not going to be like, you might sleep off a cliff or also shoot up a bunch of people, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. So we're nearing the end of the thing here. They're going to cut us off at the hour. I want to know a little bit more about this trip to Germany, though. You're going – when are you leaving? So you're really ready to leave the country in a couple months?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Yeah.
You're going to stay on Facebook, I hope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can't lose you again, man.
We have access to the internet over there, too. And Germans are pretty high-tech.
Oh, Germany has the internet? Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Where in Germany are you going to settle?
Probably Berlin.
Berlin's very nice.
Yeah, and I love Berlin.
You've been there?
And,
oh, yeah, you stayed there. Yeah. We were there earlier.
Yeah, I went there earlier. I've been all over the place over the years.
Have you been to the zoo in Berlin?
No, we didn't get a chance.
You have to go to the zoo in Berlin. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Have you heard about it?
Oh, yeah.
How it has no cages?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's excellent.
And I've seen pictures of it. She sent me pictures of it, and I'm like, I have got to go because I love tigers. And
It's amazing, dude. There's just giant moats around all the animals, so you're completely safe, you assume. I don't think anything ever happens. You're completely safe, and you can stay, and there's no bars or any barriers or anything like that. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Check it out. If you move to Berlin, I may come and visit you anyway, so.
Okay.
Because I want to see that fucking zoo again. And if you're there, I'll be like, fuck, I'm going to hang out with William Zabel for sure.
Yeah. Well, I got a friend in Australia. She works at Steve Irwin Zoo, and she raises Bengal tigers down there. And
nice. She's
got one as a personal pet that lives in the house with her and her daughter. And
Jesus.
I was down there years ago, and this thing is like a house cat. She's very docile, you got to be careful playing with her because she does weigh 300 pounds, and she'll jump on you and stuff, so you got to be careful. You'll end up with your spleen in your throat, 300 pounds of fur landing on you.
Yeah.
But I had fun when I was down there years ago, and there's a possibility my girlfriend may get a contract down there, and she goes, if we go, then you can go visit the tigers down there, too. So that'll be fun to do that. But I keep telling people, I say, you have no idea how bad it is in America. You've got to go to a foreign country and look at their press and what their people are saying about America. You really have to look at stuff from the outside. And when you see what's going on in Europe and how we manipulate Western Europe and we fund NATO and we fund all this crap with Russia, you'll understand that America is not the good guy in any of this, the country as a whole.
No, I think what you're saying is true in a sense where it's like if you went to Australia right now or England or something like that, like I just don't think the people are as fucking tense as they are here. Everybody here is like a super stretched rubber band, man. Everybody is super on edge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you went to like Germany or France or Italy in one of these cities, I bet everyone's just so laid back and they're not all stressed out about everything. So
yeah.
I envy you, dude. I'd like to go fucking move to any other country right now just to get out of this, like, maelstrom of tension.
Yeah. Well, you can feel the tension everywhere.
That's what I mean, yeah.
It's just everywhere you go, it's like you're walking on a landmine. You don't know if you're going to step on something,
right.
you go. And like I told people, I said, how much longer can we keep this joke going with this debt-based society, $20 trillion in debt, and that doesn't include corporate and private debt. When you put all the debt together, what is it that Joe Flinty and those guys say, $1.2 quadrillion or something like that? I mean, these guys are going based off the balance sheets from Wall Street about the derivatives and all this. I'm like, the $20 trillion alone is impossible to pay back.
Yeah.
And you got kids out there that graduated from college, they can never pay those student loans back. They're delivering pizza for $10 an hour, and
yeah.
Yet they got $60,000 in student loans. This is such a debt-ridden society that people are just, they're walking around, they're zombies. They're just, what they call wage slaves.
Right.
And they have no ability to do anything. They can't afford rent. And this and everything I bitch about Trump about, people like Trump. And Trump is certainly no exception to any rule. There's a lot of people out there in the world like him. These people believe, and I've seen it right here in the town where I live, that only they have the right to be comfortable and to have a good job and to have money. You are there to pay them what they want and to serve them.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that in the town where I live. We got a lady who just got her real estate license. And she's going around town telling everybody, we got to get everything up in this town like it is in California. Everything's too cheap here. I said, lady, we don't have people here working at Burger King for $25 an hour. People cannot afford rent as it is on lower middle class wages. We have people making $36,000 a year here
right.
that have to get a second job because between high rent and high car insurance and car payments and taxes, they can barely afford to get by. Well, they'll have to figure it out because we have to get everything up. I said, where do you want things? And she goes, well, these houses, $150,000, no, that's way too cheap. And I said, where do you see them? And she goes, well, in 5 to 10 years, they should be around $500,000. So I'm like, what?
do you own a home there, William? You could make out big.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
And she's not the only one. I hear this from a lot of these people that they're all obsessed with this California nonsense. Well, we got to do things the way they do in California. And I'm
they're
like,
trying to drive the riffraff out of town, William. That's why you're going to Germany.
Yeah, and it's like, have you ever seen California lately? The homeless problem out there? I got a friend who's an architect. And she can't even get in the front of her building because all the people walking up to her and wanting money and everything else. And she
Jesus.
Says, it's a disaster out here, you know. And they're these people that are like Trump, like this lady and like others I met, they will not stop until they collapse this thing.
Yeah.
Because their greed knows no bounds.
Well, yeah.
They think the party will go on forever, you know. It's just like the idiots that were involved in Iran-Contra. Did you see the latest movie with Tom Cruise, American Made, and, you know?
No, I don't really watch a lot of movies. Definitely not Tom Cruise. Sounds like propaganda.
Yeah. Well, he
tried to... Tom Cruise movie called American Made? That sounds like something that they want me to see.
Yeah. Well, it was basically about Barry Seal and his drug-running operations, and they tried to interfere. Well, one guy at the CIA kind of knew he was running drugs. And I'm like, oh, please, they're all involved in it.
Oh, I know the movie you're talking about now. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And how do you think these CIA agents supplant their $65,000 a year income when they retire from the CIA and all of a sudden they're living in Europe or the Bahamas in a $1 million home? You really think they managed to save that much money working for the CIA and paying for a mortgage and college education for their children here in America? Bull crap.
Yeah.
These guys, and I saw this in college when I did mail fulfillment. We put the statements for the state of Colorado employees in the envelopes, and we stamped them, and we sent them off to the general mail facility. Well, I started looking at some of these statements, and I was looking at their savings accounts and their checking accounts, and some of these people had $60,000 in checking, $100,000 in savings. And I went and looked on the web, and a lot of these people worked at the DMV. Some of these people worked downtown at the state capitol building, and they worked in the general services area. But they're only making $40,000, $50,000 a year. How the hell did they get $100,000 in savings? How do they average $60,000 a month in checking? Well, they had a little scandal blow up a few years before Columbine. They caught a lot of these people stealing just out of the treasury. These morons were giving these idiots credit cards to go buy supplies, kind of like what they do in the military. These guys were going and getting cash off the credit cards, putting it in their bank accounts. They didn't think anybody would ever audit that or know it because, hey, it's the government. Well, they did the same thing when my cousin was in the Air Force. They would give all these different divisions of the Air Force credit cards and say, well, you know, the people are responsible for buying tools or toilet paper, whatever. Give them the credit card, let them go buy supplies. Oh, these guys are buying hookers, they're buying cars, they're buying everything under the sun. My cousin was responsible for arresting a bunch of these guys. And he says, why in the world did they give all these idiots credit cards? Why not just put in a requisition to Washington, D.C. like the old days and say, we need 100 cases of toilet paper, the GSA buys it, sends it to the military bases, and it's a done deal. Why are they giving these idiots credit cards to go blow money? And that's how they're catching a lot of these guys with the child pornography, because they're using government credit cards to buy the downloads. And that's how they're catching them.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, and so I saw it here at the state level in Colorado. And, you know, an employee at the DMV making $27,000 a year but has $100,000 in a savings account. How the hell does that happen? See, it's system-wide. It's everywhere. It's like America is just one big candy store and everyone's walking in 24 hours a day and grabbing what they want, and you and I are paying for the candy.
Ain't that the truth, brother? Ain't that the truth? All right. Well, yeah. We got to call it a night, man. We're like way. Okay. We're gonna run out of time soon. That's.
Okay.
Man, I love talking to you. I really do, and I'm sure the listeners did as well, or at least they did enjoy hearing us talk. As I said at the beginning of the show, we have this weird chemistry, you and I. You really genuinely, you just make me smile, man. Every time I talk to you, I'm just like, this guy, you know, he's living the life of Riley. God bless him.
Yeah.
And I'm so thrilled about you falling in love and moving to Germany. I think this is fascinating. You know, people say, oh, you're going to do more audio. If William Zabel's moving to Germany and getting married, then you damn well bet I'm going to do some audio in the future when he's situated in Germany. Zabel in Germany is the natural, you know, progression of this series of conversations. It's like the police academy when they go to Moscow.
Yeah.
There you go. I knew you'd get that joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, hey, thank you for everything over the years. I really appreciate it. And best of luck to you in your travels. Folks can find you on Facebook, William Zabel. It's been a wild ride, and I plan on talking to you again in the future. No doubt about that, buddy. So stay safe, right? Don't we all have to just stay safe and try and stay out of the mess?
Oh, yeah.
All right, man.
I try to stay out of, you know, getting too deep in, but unfortunately, you know, when you go looking for things, sometimes your nose gets caught in the, you know, in the door and smack, and so you have to live with it. I mean, I'm luckier than some researchers. I mean, there's some researchers, they've never found their bodies, and others that are, you know, laying in graves, and their relatives are going, why did you look into that? Why did you stick your nose in? So,
I'm surprised in a lot of ways. You seem like so outspoken and colorful that they'd take you out.
Yeah.
You know, in some kind of accident. So it's a miracle that you're still with us. And get the hell out of the country, and we'll talk again.
Well, I'm probably going to have to get out of the country because I've been tormenting Trump over the past couple of months.
Yeah, eventually they're going to round those of us up who are anti-Trump and try and fuck with us. So I may be right behind you out of the country.
I asked Trump, I said, since you are banging every other woman on the face of the earth, I said, if I come to Washington, can I bang Melania?
How did you ask him this? What, on Twitter or something?
No, on White House website email.
Jesus. Oh, William, you're a rabble-rouser.
Yeah, I just have to torment this guy. Well, I tormented Bill Clinton, too, and Shrub, you know. And I asked Obama for his birth certificate. I said, can I get your real birth certificate?
You're so crazy. All right, man. I will I'll talk to you sometime in the future. Like I said, be well. Thank you for everything. It's been a wild ride. This is not the last time we talk. And every time we chat, you surprise me. So good luck with this move. I hope it happens, because that would be amazing. You know, post updates on Facebook. I mean, I have you on Facebook. I never see anything about you moving to Germany. So, you know, you don't want to let them know.
There's, you know, for one thing, some of my relatives are assholes and they're friends on Facebook, and they start deriding me. They know I went over there. They know I have a girlfriend, but I'm like, I don't need the hassle right now. I don't need that.
Exactly.
What are you going over there for? What's the matter with you? What are you doing? You know, and I'd like to tell everyone, but if I tell everyone, I have some people that just wouldn't leave me alone about it.
Well, you be you, William. You be you, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for everything. Good night. And like I said, have a safe move.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, folks. Wow. There you go. That was William Zabel. Vintage William Zabel. Another classic conversation with the man. I can't believe he's moving to Germany. I really that completely knocked me on my heels. So fascinating. I hope that works out for him. And lots of good talk on conspiracies. Amazing depth on that one tonight, too. Wow. I was having a hard time keeping up with William. He was going a mile a minute. It was like, oh, my God, we're all over the world and all over the map and everything here. It was pretty crazy. So, but as I said, vintage William Zabel. I can't tell you anything about next week on the show because, you know, we're coming down to, like, the last handful of shows here, and it's hard to really sort of like swirl the drain. You know, it's hard to stick the landing in a way. I have an idea of how we want to wrap up the show. I have a pretty good idea for it. And, But that's going to take some time. So we're probably going to do a few more episodes than I anticipated. So you can celebrate that now. And for good reason, because there are people that I still haven't talked to. Like tonight we have William Zabel on. This is episode 31, which is insane because normally we'd end at 33. And it's like there's still a whole bunch of other people I still want to get back on the show that I haven't talked to in a long time. So, I mean, I can't tell you how much longer this thing's going to go. I'll just drop an announcement of a season finale on you probably in like 6 weeks. That's my best guess. And I have an idea who I want to talk to next week, but I have not even reached out to them yet, which is usually a bad sign. So there are other folks as well on sort of like the last remaining short list. As I said at the end of last week's show, the people who I was like, you know, I would be remiss without talking to this person. This is insane. I can't do a final season without talking to there are a few people like that still out there, and I need to talk to them. So that'll happen next week on the show. And you don't need an MP3 update, because if you're listening to this, you have all the MP3s. You're all caught up. You're at the very cusp of what's next here for BOA Audio. So on that note, thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to William Zabel. That was just amazing. Just an absolutely delightful conversation. And until next time, Tuesday night, 9 p.m., this is Tim Banal, thanking you for listening and signing off.